Welcome to the Digital Accessibility Experts podcast from Hassle Inclusion. I'm delighted this month to have a couple of people who I've been trying to get together and kind of failed miserably a couple of months ago. So Mike Gifford from Canada was over in the UK, and we had a lovely conversation, I believe at the St. Pancras Hotel. It was really great. I bought him a beer, which is always good, because the other guy I buy a beer for, Graham Arnfield, he's the guy who should have been there really with me, because it would have been a much more interesting conversation. So I wasn't able to set that up whilst Mike was here in the UK. But actually, at the end of Mike's really great presentation on Drupal accessibility at the London Accessibility Meetup that evening, I suddenly had that moment of clarity and said, wouldn't it be great to have Mike, who've been doing stuff on Drupal, and Graham, who's been doing stuff on WordPress, both in the accessibility arena. It would be great to get the two of you together to discuss, I guess, you know, anything that is similar about the journeys, anything that contrasts between the tools. And maybe, if you like, share some of those joys and frustrations of working with these CMSs. So that's what we've got for you today. Mike is coming to us down the beauty of Skype, so hopefully that will kind of hold together for us for the next hour. I'm going to start by asking the same question to both of you. So Mike, you first. So how did you get into accessibility?
So, I mean, I've had friends who who had cerebral palsy or other disabilities from high school onward, but I think I realized about 2008 that there was a lot more that I could learn, and there's a lot more I could contribute by actually getting involved in the Drupal community. And I saw that there are ways that we could make Drupal more accessible in the core product, and that would be something that would help us go and sell to government or educational institutions. And my impression was that Drupal was already going to be very accessible, and that it wouldn't take very much to go off and to just say, hey, we're WCAG 1.0 compliant, and so we should be let's put that little button on the bottom of Drupal sites, and away we go. 10 years on, I'm no longer trying to go off and to claim that Drupal is a fully compliant content management system.
Sure. So, I mean, why Drupal, Mike? What was it that kind of turned you on to that as being a CMS that you wanted to spend your time with?
Well, I mean, I had a content management system I'd managed earlier. So there's one called Backend that I guess I took over the maintainership of that project in 2002 or 2003. But I realized after working on it for, I guess, 2, 3, 4 years that it was... it just wasn't able to go off and do what we needed it to do, and that we've started with a good base, but we had created a bit of a farmhouse of a content management system, and we made it so that it could be fully multilingual, and hadn't done a lot of work to build a PHP MySQL content management system, but we just outgrew it, and we realized that there was so much more that we could do by engaging with the Drupal community, which was moving very quickly. We're told that multilingual content was going to be something that was going to be in a future release, and that was quite far along. And we saw that we were able to move our clients ahead on that. And the multilingual element was something that we needed for our client base, since we're based in Ottawa, and everything has to be in English and French, more or less. And we just could not do that in WordPress. And we also liked the infrastructure that Drupal had set up, and it fit more with the way that we think about content, and the way that we think about how we wanted to go off and engage with complex national level organizations.
Cool. Graham, over to you. I mean, so how do you got into accessibility, and how you got into kind of WordPress? You know, why that CMS?
Right. Well, I got into accessibility around the turn of the century. I used to work for a large financial.
Yeah, really. Turn of the century. I mean, everybody on this call, Mike, I heard you laughing there. So when did you get into accessibility? Because I think it wasn't yesterday for you either, was it?
I got in 2008.
We're going to make you feel really young today, so that's good. So yeah. turn of the century,
turn
Graham.
Of the century, mate. Yes. I used to work for a large financial company here in London, and I kind of got into it because my manager told me to. I was interested in it. We had a demo from an agency who we worked with. The guy showed me how a screen reader worked, which I'd never seen before. And then he gave me some information about how to change a website so that a screen reader would actually make sense of it. And then my manager saw that I was interested, so I became in charge of making sure that all the public websites that we did in that team were accessible. I built some myself. I was quite proud of what I was doing there. Obviously, looking back on it, things could have been better. But you know, at the time, it was like groundbreaking stuff for the financial markets in this country. We did build a content management system. It was actually Java based. I didn't do much of the back end, but I was in charge of translating the XML output into front end code and making all that accessible for the flagship brochureware site for this organization. But things.
It is a great learning experience having your own content management system.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I did that for a few years. And then during the financial crash, things didn't go well with the company that I was working with. I took voluntary redundancy and set up my own company. And then I got into building websites for small businesses, as well as trying to do accessibility gigs as well. I actually built my own very simplistic content management system in PHP, which I did about two or three websites for small businesses with. But then I needed a blog on my own website, and I searched, and someone suggested WordPress was a good option. For a while, I had WordPress as a bolt-on blog on my own website. But then I realized that you could actually build the whole thing with WordPress. And so that's what I did. So that's how I got into WordPress. It was, I have built, you know, accessible WordPress sites for clients, like, you know, charities, and also people who have disabilities. Like, I've had clients who are blind, clients who are deaf. But I started to sort of like get frustrated by the fact that especially in the admin area, WordPress was just a mess from an accessibility perspective. And
I wish you could say that that is no longer the case.
I wish I could say that that's no longer the case.
Well, I think, you know, with all of these things, I think it's going to be quite interesting. You know, the two of you have similar experiences. I didn't realize the two of you actually had your own CMSs that, you know, before the CMSs that we're talking about today. So, I mean, that's one more touch point, really. But it'd be interesting just to kind of, just to start off by just saying one thing you like about the CMS you use. So my accessibility aside, why do you like Drupal?
So I guess that the big reason that I like Drupal is that it's a very modular structure. All of the modules extend an API with Drupal. The Forms API allows you to have a great deal of control over your content, but there's a lot of ability to centralize and organize things, so there's more consistency across the board because everything's using these central APIs to manage how the themes are functioning and how the forms are working and how interaction happens within the sites you're building.
Graham, what about WordPress? What do you like about it?
Once I'd sort of set up my own website, so it ran with WordPress, including the blog, I realized that how easy it was to build a theme in WordPress. And And one thing I found then that when I was showing it, using it to use build websites for clients, is that clients actually kind of liked the one-to-one correlation between a page on the website and an edit page within the back end of WordPress. They just seemed to understand that easily. And also they liked the editing experience, which up until recently hasn't changed drastically, which was just like, in some ways, just like editing a Word document, and right. And clients just found it easy, you know, because most of the clients I've built sites for have no technical knowledge whatsoever. Sure. So they could build, you know, they could just effectively, like editing a Word document, they could build the content for their own websites, given the theme that I created for them.
I think one of the things that comes up with Drupal again and again is you come for the code, but you stay for the community. And I think that there's a really nice community in the Drupal world. And I'll be off to Seattle in I think 3 weeks for DrupalCon. And it's great to have this global community of people that are working on the same code base and who are able to know and trust each other and be able to learn from each other as we grow and explore how to go off and address the challenges of the web today.
Graham, you're off to WordCamp Bristol as well as London. That's right.
Yeah. WordCamp London's in a couple of weeks, and yes, I'm speaking at WordCamp Bristol, which is in May. And I try and get to two, three, four WordCamps a year. I've become part of the community because I've done a lot of speaking, but I've also made a lot of friends up and down the country. This is in the UK, obviously. Mm. And, each of these WordCamps and the meetup groups I also go to, it becomes like a social event as well as a sharing of information and whatever. So that's really good too.
The one thing that kind of brings those two things together is that community kind of sense that you're all contributing to something.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the thing which I think... for me is really inspiring about these things. It's what software can be, something that, you know, people can come together around and do great things. Both of you have come together around, you know, the CMSs that you support in the area of accessibility. And so I was just interested in, Graham, if you wanted to start, you know, what made you get involved in the accessibility side of WordPress?
Well, I was inspired. I've always been idealistic, Mike, about the web, and I'm sure you probably feel the same. The web should be for everyone, really, and it's frustrating when it isn't. I quickly realised that the admin area of WordPress, this is especially after I had a client who was blind, and was just a total mess, and... it was diabolical, and I got involved in. I wanted to change that. I realised that WordPress was it was used by a substantial number of websites, so the stats weren't quite so readily available in those days. We're talking about 8 or 9 years ago now. That I felt that if I can make this one improvement here, that's going to benefit an awful lot of people. And so that's how I got involved, and I started off it on the support forums. But I didn't find I was getting anywhere with that. But it was actually, I was invited to speak at a WordCamp in 2012 in Edinburgh in Scotland. I wasn't going to go, but someone said, look, we'd love you to talk about accessibility. What do you think? And since I love getting up on my back legs and talking about stuff, I accepted their invitation. And that was an absolute revelation, because I was supposed to talk for half an hour, but in the end, they held the sessions for me, and I ended up speaking for an hour and a half, including questions, because it just wowed and turned so many people's heads. And this was quite, I felt like a rock star afterwards, I must say. But it's like people were saying, this is so important. Sort of just did some simple demos of how poor, from an accessibility perspective, the admin area was, especially at the time they just introduced the menu builder, I think it was, or the customizer. It was just totally inaccessible, because it was a pop-up. It was a big pop-up panel, and then you know what's coming next. Like you try to get into it with a keyboard, and the focus just stays on the underlying page, so you couldn't even operate it. And so it was just and people were actually raising track tickets whilst I was talking on that. It was quite an interesting experience.
That's cool.
And so I started realizing that was what I was doing. So I got myself the ability to raise track tickets. And then after that, then I was invited to a lot more WordCamps and meetup groups. The ball just kept rolling, basically.
Yeah. It was a community that actually wanted to listen to what you wanted to say.
Most people wanted to listen. Most people wanted to listen.
And as well, they actually wanted to do something about it pretty quick. I mean, one of the things that I think we find a lot in the accessibility world in general, I guess, is that often, you get asked to test whether a website is accessible or not, and you don't necessarily know what's going to happen afterwards. Right. Actually, I don't think anybody in accessibility wants to test a single thing. We just want to improve stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm hearing there is that this community actually took what you were trying to contribute and did something about it.
Then I found the Make WordPress Accessible team. I didn't found it by any means. It was already there, but I became an active member in that. And there were a few other people who were still there as well, joined around the same time. And there was, for a while, there was some real momentum in the earlier days and we made some great successes, really. And so it was part of a team effort, because myself, just on my own, I had some successes there, but it was a very scattergun approach almost, really. And it was much better when we were part of a team to actually try and influence stuff then, really.
And I mean, Michael, come to you in a second to see how this kind of plays in with your experience on Drupal. But just one last thing about it's that influence, I think, that for me is really important about all of this stuff. I'm guessing that, Graham, you wouldn't have spent so long doing things in this community if you didn't think that things were actually changing as part of that. So how did you get the influence? How did you get the people, if you like, at the top to take you and maybe the rest of WordPress Accessible community seriously, and actually we really want you to help us make this better?
Okay, well, that was through meeting at WordCamps, especially WordCamp Europe, the first WordCamp Europe, which was in Leiden about 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. Because it was such a big event, and also the first WordCamp London, a lot of the core contributors, a lot of whom were from the US, but not all, obviously, but a lot of the core contributors actually came to both those events because they were seen as prestigious events. And so I just got chatting to people, Andrew Nason being one key person within the WordPress community at both events. He was interested himself in accessibility. And so then it was just kind of like getting to know these people, getting to find out how you actually got changes involved, like through the contributor days that the WordCamps have. You don't have to code it all yourself. You can just make suggestions and then find the developer who can actually do it for you. Raising a ticket is the first part, proposing solutions and then finding developers. And so it's just badgering people.
Yeah.
And sometimes, sadly, and I don't know what this was like for you, Mike, but on occasion, getting really frustrated and kicking my toys out the pram.
That works.
If you do it every time, then, of course, people just tune you out of the conversation.
Sure.
But just occasionally, kicking up a real fuss, actually can make a difference.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Mike, you know prams and sort of toys as well.
Yes.
Is that part of your repertoire of kind of influencing in the Drupal community?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the general model is one where like in any open source project, there's an issue queue, and I think that if you want to go off and make sure that your issues are addressed, the important thing is to go off and make sure that they're in that issue queue and not in an old version of the code base, but on a the latest developer release of the code base, because that's what developers are looking at. They're not looking at fixing the old code from a year or 2 or 3 years ago. They want to know they're working on the code that hasn't been released yet.
Yeah.
So you work on the very latest code base. You put up an issue against that code. You then go off and propose some suggestions, as Graham suggested. You write a patch to go off and to address that, and then you keep nudging it ahead. You provide links to other examples, and some of that can be pointing to documentation. Some of it can be pointing to other teams that have implemented this. We've certainly linked to WordPress from time every once in a while. Link to WordPress or to Joomla and see what are those communities doing, or Moodle. There's a few different communities that are trying different things for accessibility, and it can be useful to point to them to say, hey, they're doing this over here. Maybe we should try that. Maybe we should try that within our own community.
You're obviously doing a lot of really, really good stuff. What was it that kind of kicked you off into, I'm gonna spend probably what it sounds like a considerable amount of time and actually, trying to influence that.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't actually count the thousands of hours I've spent looking at this, because I'm sure it is in the thousands of hours. But it's essentially a bit addictive to be able to start making change and realizing that the changes that you're making, if you're addressing these issues at the source, you're actually able to improve a pretty huge portion of the internet. Drupal and WordPress work differently. So because I've focused on core instead of on the modules and themes, I can say that I've helped move ahead 3% of the web. That being said, there's some really amazing themes and plugins that are being improved by the WordPress community. I think that the work that Graham and Rhiannon and others have done have really helped to push ahead, 30% of the web, which is wonderful. So, I think that there's an addictive quality to being able to actually see change happen and not be in a position where you're constantly retesting information and retesting broken web links, and it's satisfying to be able to actually make progress in this world and to see that you're actually able to improve the accessibility of a very popular platform.
Yeah. Absolutely, Mike. Absolutely.
Yeah. One of the things that's massively important to me, I just do it in a different sphere, is kind of impact, really. I think that's what we're talking about here. We only have a limited amount of time, so it's where you use your time, and certainly, one of the things that, we spend a lot of time really kind of thinking about is, how do we take the skills, the experience, which is still pretty rare, really. There's still nowhere near enough people out there who really know their onions when it comes to accessibility. How do we use that great experience we have, best, really? How do we get the impact that we're looking for? It sounds like you both kind of hit on, two sides of the same coin, really. Mike, what are you most proud of all of those thousands of hours that you're trying not to count? What's the thing where you look at and you go, oh, that was so good?
I think that what I'm most proud of is that I proved what can happen when you get a group of people together to collaborate on a common project. There's some great developers like the other Drupal accessibility maintainers is actually in the UK. That's Andrew McPherson. Mm-hmm. But there's other people like Angie Byron and others that have taken a leadership role in the Drupal community and have been really influential in making sure that some of these patches get addressed as quickly as possible, and that the culture changes. If accessibility is going to be addressed, you have to actually change the culture. You actually have to see that the community as a whole is able to understand the value of that. And I can't take responsibility for changing the culture. I think I played a role in influencing it, but having leaders like Angie and, for that matter, Dries, the founder of Drupal, go in and talk about accessibility and to raise these issues in the community and make accessibility a core gate has really elevated the elevated accessibility within the Drupal community. It's not just sort of a feature or a nice to have, but because of a leadership commitment from the Drupal community, it's something that it's taken seriously, and that it's a bug and not a feature request, and that can make a huge difference in terms of how projects are dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely. Graham, what about you? Were you most proud of?
For
introducing into that WordPress community?
Well, the I mentioned earlier the customizer and the menu builder, which were two new big features of WordPress that have been introduced into the admin since I've been in the accessibility team. And they were both a bit disastrous to start with, but we came up with solutions for both, which made them a much more accessible experience. I'm not saying the customizer is perfect, because it certainly isn't, but certainly the menu builder, it was drag and drop to start with. Now, of course, it's going to inconvenience quite a few people, but we managed to cajole one of the core developers to actually sort of introduce some features in there so that it was actually possible to do effectively the drag and drop, but with a keyboard. It's a little bit Mickey Mouse in some ways, but it actually worked. And so you could manipulate your menu items just, you know, using a keyboard if mm-hmm. you wanted to. So that was pretty good. We also got the default WordPress themes, like, well, the current one's 2019, I think, or 2018, I forget now. All of those series of themes were pretty good from an accessibility perspective. Other members of the team have helped introduce the theme review guidelines. I'm thinking Joe Dolson, who has played a key role in introducing this accessibility aspect to the theme review. So you could, if you submit a theme to WordPress, there's this sadly optional extra check you can go through, and then you can wear your accessibility ready badge with pride if you pass that extra thing.
Themes are the templates. This is the thing that enables you to get a really head start on what your website is actually going to look like. All the different kind of sections.
That's correct. That sort of thing.
Life isn't always like that, unfortunately. Just to check on what hasn't worked. So, Graham, one of the things that I feel like you might about to say is quite famous, certainly in the accessibility community last year. So what do you think hasn't quite made it?
Well, before I start talking about the G word, I've looked at Drupal over the fence over the years, and just to sort of like to echo to you, Mike, that I have been quite jealous of the way that I think it was at Drupal 7 or Drupal 8, I can't remember, where there was this huge commitment to accessibility.
And, it started in Drupal 7.
Yeah, yeah, and you could see that actually, you know, that's within the accessibility team. It wasn't, as once again, it wasn't just me. It was people like Rianne, as you mentioned, and Joe and what have you. You know, we wanted that sort of like commitment to business being done properly within WordPress. Sadly, we've never quite made it. A lot of people within the WordPress community think it's accessibility is really important, but there are sadly key people, including a certain person right at the top, who doesn't really feel that it's that important to actually get it right. And whenever you start to talk about accessibility to him, he switches it to talk about internationalization, which is a very important thing, but is not the same as accessibility. I'm frustrated, like, you know, for example, the admin area is available in multiple languages, including both sorts of Norwegian. Okay.
Who knew? I didn't even know there was two sorts of Norwegian. But there you are. But, you learn lots on this podcast, don't you?
But the point there is that actually, you know, WordPress admin is available in both these sorts of Norwegian. However, there are way more people in the US who are blind than there are people in the world who speak Norwegian. And so it's about, you know, if you've got a limited amount of time, let's do the stuff that potentially numerically is most important. Mm-hmm. And there's never been in WordPress that real commitment to actually driving accessibility forward. There has been for some 2 or 3 years now a commitment that says all new features, and this is after the customizer and the media handler debacle in the past, there has been this commitment to making all new functionality has to be WCAG compliant, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that just seems to be, you know, I hesitate to use the words lip service, but it's what it seems to have been like, basically, because it's not stopped the way that features have been developed at all. And what often happens is that some of the devs, I mean, some of these people do great stuff, right? Don't get me wrong. But they, you know, they were all about breaking the internet, getting new stuff out there and breaking it, basically, and not about getting things to be as accessible as they could be. And the latest iteration of that is with the new WordPress editor, which has been known up to now as Gutenberg, right? Which has been a project that's been going for 2 years or so now. And it has been an extraordinarily frustrating experience from an accessibility perspective. And for a while, I just withdrew from from contributing to WordPress because I was just so burned out with the negativity around it. There's been some fantastic work done, Tammy Lister being one particular person who was involved in the design aspects, done a lot to try and keep accessibility afloat within Gutenberg, but a lot of people are just not interested. Let's build it and fix it later, which, as we all know, is a recipe for disaster from an accessibility perspective.
Yeah, it is. Well, and certainly a recipe for doing accessibility in the most expensive way,
yeah.
If not financially, certainly in terms of those thousands of hours. Yes.
Now, we're into Gutenberg phase two now, and there's new features coming along, and the widget area is going to be Gutenbergized and everything like that, and other stuff as well, the menu builder and what have you. And it's like, well, why can't we actually fix the issues that we've already introduced first before we actually go pell-mell into sort of like introducing all these new features for which there are massive accessibility challenges?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what last year sounded like.
Yes.
At the end of it, for a lot of people, which was something where, you know, we as an organization, I was looking at WordPress thinking, well, this is great, you know, Graham's doing brilliant stuff in here, but you know, this is having great impact, you know, what more can we do? I must admit, what more can we do, kind of like, you know, founded on the rock of Gutenberg, because it's kind of like, well, actually, if people are getting burnt out in the accessibility community who are touching this at the moment, that's not a good thing. And so we all kind of held back there for a while. I mean, Mike, you had moments like this with Drupal, or is all lovely in the Drupal world?
No, it's certainly not all lovely, but we haven't had quite the emotional and the traumatic effect that Gutenberg seemed to have had. And I think that there's a couple reasons to that. I mean, partly it's that we have have commitment from the top around accessibility. That doesn't mean that everything is always accessible. There's definitely stuff that is introduced in experimental modules that are a bit sometimes there's stuff that slips in there, and also because, you know, developers want to create new stuff, and so there's always new stuff coming along, and the accessibility people aren't necessarily involved in the creation of those projects because there just simply aren't enough of us. There are a few people who are volunteering and working on these issues and contributing to the issue queue of core and contributed modules. There's quite a few people that are involved in this, but it's not like an accessibility role within each development team for a core project, and that there's somebody designated to watch for and address issues that come up. And I think that the other thing that Gutenberg has run up against is the fact that they're trying to solve a really hard problem. Mm. Drag and drop is an issue that we addressed back in Drupal 7 simply by disabling the JavaScript for that particular component. So you could, instead of using a mouse to drag and drop an item up and down the interface, you would be able to just enter in a number and change the weighting of how something sits within within an order of documents. It's a different thing though when you're looking at trying to go out from place an object in potentially two or three dimensions, like you're increasingly looking to do within within these fluid layouts that people are striving for. And and JavaScript, like React and Angular, these great front end tools are something that are coming coming into effect in across many platforms, but the JavaScript developers in many ways have not learned the importance of semantic HTML. So you know, so much of the time they could build in good semantic HTML into the React components that they're building, but they don't. And so then they try and slap in area to try and provide the results, and you get a hacky kind of implementation, because you know the first rule of area is don't use area. Area is a fallback should HTML5 not be available, and you shouldn't be building so that your sites are relying on area to go off to implement the semantic behavior.
Mm. So I mean, you've both been working in this area for a while. It would be useful to kind of see. You know, what have you learned through the process? What do you know now that you didn't a while ago? I guess the thing I'm thinking is that, you know, I massively respect the both of you because of the journey you've gone with these tools and actually the things you've been able to achieve in them. And so I'm thinking, say there's somebody out there who has not started that journey yet. You know, I mean, what would you say are the things you've really learned that made all of the you know, the highs and the lows worthwhile? Graham, let's start with you.
I want Mike to start first because I want to think of something.
You want to think of that one. still, it's still smarting from that Gutenberg thing.
Yeah,
Mike, what have you learned from the process? What do you think Drupal has enabled you, you know, to learn as an accessibility specialist, as a developer, as a human being?
I mean, partly is humility, that there's just so much to learn and people come out in so many different ways, and there's still things that I keep running into and challenges that I don't have answers to. Like we don't have yet any way to test for visually induced motion sickness. So this is, you know, if you have an interactive element on a page, at some point some levels of that movement can actually make people feel sick. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have a solution for this. And there isn't really a best practice out there for dealing with VIMs that is easily understandable and that can be managed in most of our web browsers. And we're starting to go off and to be able to deal with things like dark mode and a preference for color preferences for websites, largely thanks to Apple going off and releasing the new dark mode across their operating system and their browsers. So that's interesting. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned, other than how much there is to learn and how complicated this is that a lot of times you need to understand the system in order to be able to make change. That mm-hmm. that if you are looking at addressing accessibility problems on a page by page basis, you will never ever be able to make any significant advances in the accessibility of your site, let alone of your organization as a whole. So trying to understand how systems are put together and where your footer template plate lies, and how for that matter how your people create content, and what are the organizational structures and silos that are possibly getting in the way of people learning about accessibility and implementing common patterns that make it easier for users to be able to have a really inclusive experience. So I think that the that's mostly what I've learned is that there's just that I've gotten an appreciation for systems by having spent a decade looking at the Drupal the Drupal content management system and understanding how many levels there are to accessibility and how much work there is to do before we're making sites that are accessible by default. If that's the goal, we have a long ways to go before we're able to achieve that.
Yeah, that's great. Graham, has that given you time?
Yes. Thank you.
Great answer, Mike. That's
thank you.
I love that combination of humility and just wow. There's a lot of complexity there. How do we deal with it?
I think you're right. Actually, for me, the experience of working through Gutenberg, where I have contributed and seen not much changing, or not, you know, or solutions that I've provided ignored. It still is quite raw, and but I think what I have learned through the process is that you can't ever achieve things on your own. You mentioned about teams. I mentioned about the accessibility team earlier. I think you have to be mob-handed on this. You need to have a team of people who care about this, and you need to have some kind of strategy on, you know, the battles that you're going to fight. And the battles that you just haven't got time to fight, really. You need to prioritize, and you need to build consensus and find allies within the core developers. In WordPress that I've used successfully in the past, is to find out, you know, people who will do you a favor. And I'm very proud of the one change that I made to core some years ago that I managed to get in there because I was a good friend of the team lead for one particular release. I won't embarrass him by naming his name, but suffice to say that I actually contributed a couple of lines of code which made something more accessible. So it's about collaborating with people but also knowing your limits, really. You know, not giving up in some ways.
Yeah, and fighting the right battles.
In terms of allies, it's also worthwhile looking at allies, not just as individuals, but other movements or other issues like accessibility and the work of search engine optimization. There's some similarities there. Mm-hmm. I describe accessibility as a way of trying to be future compatible because a more semantic website will be easier for a machine to be able to read the information. So you're able to reach out to those people who want to have integration with Alexa or Siri or Google Home.
Yeah.
And also, what you said, that reminded me of that famous Margaret Mead quote, "You never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." And that's what we've got, is a group of WordPress and Drupal citizens that have been trying to go off and make these platforms better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I say, I have two other citizens with me. I mean, it's an honor. We haven't got very, very long left, but... So I'd like each of you to kind of say something about, you know, giving all you've heard and giving all you know about these two things, which do you think, if you were starting again, if you didn't have the rich history that you had with the CMS that you know so well, if you were starting right from scratch now, which of these do you think is most accessible, and which of these do you think is the place that you would spend your time? Mike, I'll start with you.
I think that without a doubt, Drupal is the most accessible. It's the only thing that has even started to go off and incorporate ATAG A and B, which is the authoring tool accessibility guidelines, to allow not only people with disabilities to be able to author their content, but to be able to ensure that authors are assisted as much as possible in creating accessible content out there. I think that Drupal is right now the most accessible content management system out there. But that being said, you know, WordPress is 30% of the web. If I'm looking at impact, if I was starting this again and not starting from a point of having that knowledge and experience with Drupal, that it would be really tempting to go off and look at WordPress, because if you're able to create change within the WordPress community and influence the core team within WordPress, you're moving a much larger portion of the web and being able to potentially benefit a lot more people. So if you know the work that the WordPress community has done has been really great. I really like the efforts to try and have those branded accessible themes within the WordPress community. And again, that sends signals to the people within the WordPress community about the values of accessibility and the awareness of these issues.
Sure. Graham, how about you?
It's an interesting question, because I think having a very brief flirtation with Drupal many, many years ago before I got into WordPress, you know, I think I'd like to explore that a bit more, really. I agree with Mike. I think overall Drupal is a much more accessible. The commitment to accessibility is more consistent. That's not to devalue the people within the WordPress community who do have a massive commitment to accessibility. But I think it's all joined up in Drupal a lot more than is in WordPress. Yeah, your point about the reach is important. You know, it's got a phenomenal reach, WordPress. But I'd love to see how we can steer that ship a bit more in the future within the WordPress community.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like on one side you've got maybe more possibility of making more impact, but more challenges and more kind of barriers in the way. On the WordPress side, on the Drupal side, things feel like it's a nicer place to be, certainly at the moment. But actually, if you like, in some ways, you need more people to come join you and actually use the platform to get the best out of all of that great impact that you've been able to have.
Mike, I just wanted to ask you a question, actually, because during the Gutenberg story, there were, I think it was like late last year, there were stories surfacing that actually Drupal was thinking of introducing Gutenberg into itself. And that did intrigue me, actually. So what's the story there? Is this... is that actually going to happen or what?
There's a module that is out there, but there's, I think more seriously, there's a team within the Drupal community that's looking at building a React backend for Drupal to try and do what Gutenberg did, but to do it in a more Drupal-y way, and hopefully that would be something that would be accessible. But a problem that both of our teams have is that that we don't have people on our teams who are really strong at JavaScript and really strong at accessibility. There aren't that many people who fit that camp. And if we're moving to any JavaScript backend, whether it's React based or whether it's a Gutenberg clone or whatever it is, you need to have people who understand React and JavaScript and accessibility and are able to go off and create good semantic HTML and where necessary area as part of that, but you can't have all of the JavaScript wizards live off in their own little camp doing their own stuff and then sort of toss it over the fence to the accessibility team, which is more based in a HTML CSS kind of framework than most of the time than a JavaScript development environment.
Sure,
it's exactly what happened in WordPress.
I think that was a
big
part of the problem, it's still part of the problem that we're facing in Drupal.
I mean, I think it's actually part of the problem that everyone is facing at the moment. It used to be that people really didn't care about accessibility very much. And actually these days it feels like there's a lot more people who do, but there's still far too few people who really know how to help those people. So certainly it's one of the things that we're thinking a lot about these days is just to do as much training as we can to share the knowledge of guys like yourselves around as much as possible, because You know, that's the sort of thing that that makes the difference, really. So I just wanted to thank you both today. As I say, I think that's been really, really interesting. Hopefully next time we can all be in the same physical location. Maybe we'll come over to Canada, Mike. That would be pretty awesome.
The summertime is better than right now.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
So we've heard. Absolutely. Hey, well, thank you so much for your time, Mike.
Just one last thing that occurred to me, I should say, is that a lot of the accessibility problems that you run into are not really tied to the CMS itself, but are tied to the browser or the assistive technology, and or for that matter, user behavior and user expectations. If we can go off and build collaboration between open source content management systems, we can exert a lot more pressure on the assistive technology vendors and the browser vendors in order to go off to build tools that work well with the web. If we're all sort of in our fragmented little corners, and the browsers are going to do whatever they want, but if we say here is a pattern for drag and drop, and we will work and use this pattern for drag and drop for our websites, then they're not going to turn away 30-40% of the web.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming together, I think, is exactly the right thing ever possible. I think a lot more conversations can happen from now. But thanks so much for your time today. As I say, we've really, really enjoyed having that combination of your experience and Graham's together on one of our podcasts. I hope everybody has learned a lot from that as well. And both through the kind of like the easy stuff and the hard stuff, there's a lot of learnings there that I think a lot of people can be really grateful that you've shared today. So thanks so much. Next month on the Digital Accessibility Experts podcast, we're going to be talking about return on investment. If, like many organisations, you decide to invest your time and resources into getting good at accessibility and embedding it throughout the way your digital teams work, what benefits will that bring to your organisation, and how do you measure them? Join us next month to find out.